welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Isaiah. So go grab your Bible and get close to your radio as we take a deeper look in the book.
It's like the Old Testament. 27, it's like the New Testament. Amen. So it's not a hard book now to remember, is it? Amen. So it's like a little Bible in itself now. Amen. The first 39 deals with what? It deals more with the law of God. Amen. And the last 27 deals with the what? Deals with the grace of God. Just like in the whole Bible itself, the Old Testament deals primarily with the law of God, and the New Testament deals primarily with the grace of God. Amen. All right, so you got it. See, you got it. Give yourself a hand. You got it. You got it. Amen. Now, Isaiah, prophetic perspective. I want you to see Isaiah prophetic perspective. How Isaiah saw some stuff. God pulled back the veil and let Isaiah see some stuff that a lot of the other prophets didn't see. I want you to see something here. Isaiah, the first 12 chapters of the book, he saw the judgment against Judah and Jerusalem. Then he saw the judgment against the nations. Turn with me to chapter 13 right quick. I want you to see something, because most of the time we think that God is the God of just Israel, or God is the God of the church. You know, sometimes people, they'll tell you, well, you know, I'm not a Christian, so, you know, I'm not worried about, you know, the Lord. On judgment day, you know, I'm going to talk with the Lord for myself. See, I'm not no Christian. See, I wouldn't be trying to be no hypocrite there in the church. See, I don't want to be no hypocrite. So, you know, so they think that because they're not a Christian, that it'll be a little bit easier on them, you know. See, hadn't you ever heard folks say, I ain't even trying to be no Christian? See, as if that's a good thing. They don't know. That's a bad thing. That's like saying, I'm in five, but I ain't trying to get out. You see, they're in trouble, and they don't even realize. Amen. But notice here. See, God is the God of the whole world. Look here in chapter 13. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 1, what do you see? It says, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. God showed him what was going to happen to Babylon. As a matter of fact, you ought to read this 13th chapter here. One of the ways that we knew that when America went over in Desert Storm was going to win that battle, it's because it's prophesied right here that there would be coalition forces that would come together and that Babylon would be destroyed. Babylon is Iraq. Amen. And the way that God speaks in a prophetic manner, what he often does is he'll do something the first time, let's say like a little judgment, and then he'll bring another judgment just like that judgment, and then he'll bring a bigger judgment, boom, at the end. And so Babylon is destined to be doomed. Yeah, Iraq is destined to be doomed. Look, but not only Iraq, look over here in the bulletin, verse number, let's see, chapter 15. Verse 1, the burden of Moab, because the night of Ark of Moab is laid waste. Notice, lays waste and brought to silence. God is going to bring total destruction. Do you know who Moab is? Is who? I thought I heard somebody. From where? Yeah, that's Lot's, one of Lot's children, but that's over there in that Jordan area and a little south of that. As a matter of fact, as we go through the book of Isaiah, I'll show you that all of those Muslim countries, they are destined to be doomed. Yeah, and Isaiah saw that. He saw all of these countries were coming against Israel, but God, one by one, is going to bring judgment on them. Look at the next chapter, chapter 18. Well, 17, chapter 17. Chapter 17, the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruined heap. What is Damascus? That's Syria. That city is still, matter of fact, it's one of the oldest cities in the world. But it's going to come to ruin one day. Chapter 18. Look, it says, woe to the land shattering with wings, which is beyond the river of Epinopania. All right, that whole area of Epinopania down there, where Epinopania and Libya, that whole area, Sudan, that whole area there, it's going to come to ruin. And so when you read Isaiah, God showed Isaiah stuff that was happening in our day. These nations, what did they call that last year when they had that rising? Those nations, what was it? The Arab Spring. All of those nations, the Arab Springs, they're supposed to come to power in the last days. And they came to power in the last days, just like the Bible said. And God is going to bring judgment because they're going to come against Israel. And so God is setting them up to come against Israel. And it's an exciting time. We are seeing this on the evening news. This is powerful. This is powerful. Amen. Let's go on a little bit further. Let's go on a little bit further. Amen. He also saw the judgment of the tribulation. In chapter 24 through chapter 27, he saw the tribulation period. Now, you think about it. Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus, but he saw the tribulation period. Have we made it to the tribulation? When he made it to, so God showed him past our day, past us. Isn't that something? That's why they call him the eagle eye prophet. He saw stuff that was happening in his day, but he also saw stuff that's going to happen way at the end. Amen, amen. What is the tribulation? What is the tribulation? Anybody know what the tribulation is? What is the tribulation? How many years do tribulation last? 7 years. Amen. It lasts 7 years. The last 3 years of the tribulation, what do they call that? That's right, the great tribulation. Amen. They call the first 3 years, 3.5 years, just tribulation. But the last 3.5 years is the great tribulation. I see I need to go on and teach the book of Revelation, don't we? Amen. Somebody said amen on that. Amen. And notice, not only did he see the tribulation, he saw the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon that takes place in chapter 16 and 17 and 18. He saw the battle of Armageddon that takes place over in the book of Revelation, 16, 17, 18. Now, isn't that something? Once the rapture, once we go up in the air, when Jesus come back, there will be 7 years of where God will allow all hell to break loose on earth. People say they don't want God. God said, okay, well, we're going to get out of town. We're going to go, we're going to get out of town, and we're going to have a party for 7 years. I'm going to take my church up to heaven, and we're going to just party down for 7 years. And then we'll come back to this earth. And when he come back to this earth, he's going to come back at the battle of Armageddon. We're going to come back with him. Amen. Riding on white horses. Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. Amen, because I don't too much like riding horses. But I don't mind riding the horse that Jesus done got for me. Amen, I don't have to worry about that horse, you know, bucking me and throwing me off. Amen, amen. We're going to come back on white horses. Amen. Come back for the fight. Amen. But it ain't going to be much of a fight. They're going to have all their nuclear weapons and stuff. Dan Jesus to come down. He said, y'all want me to come on down there? And he's going to come on down here and take care of business. And the Bible says he's going to speak one word, and the wall going to be over with. It's going to be over with. Amen. I know y'all thought y'all was going to come down here with bow and arrows, and y'all going to try to pump off some folks. I'm going to get me 10 of them, Jesus. No, you ain't going to get nobody. Bible says he's going to speak one word. Now, I don't know what that word is. I think it just may be he may just say, die, and that's it. The battle is over with. They're going to have all of these, you know, nuclear weapons and all these airplanes and missiles and stuff. But when Jesus said that one word, that's it. Isn't that something? And then he's going to call the birds to come to supper. Amen. See, you're going to either go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and have supper with Jesus, or either you're going to be supper for the birds. You'll be supper for the birds. He's going to call the birds to come eat you up, because it's going to be too many dead folk for them to try to bury everybody. So he said, come on, birds. Do you know everything got a purpose? Do you know almost everything that come out at night comes out to be like the garbage disposal? Did you know that? That's what, you know, rats, they come out at night to go ahead and clean up stuff. Y'all left all this out here. And so the rat come, and he'll clean up, you know, get all the lit crumbs and stuff that you leave, the bread that you leave on the table and stuff. He just be doing his job. Y'all be setting traps and stuff for him, but he say, man, I'm trying to help y'all out. Amen. Skunks come out at night. Armadillo come out at night. They come out, you know, everything you done left out in the open in the day, they come out at night and clean up. Just like, you know, the street sweepers, they come out at night to clean up. But these are God's street sweepers. They come out and, you know, that's the purpose. Amen. Amen. Yeah, catfish. See, catfish and shrimps, they are God's garbage disposers for the sea. Oh, see, I messed up somebody's meal. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why do you think catfish so big? They'd be happy to eat all the dead stuff down there. They'll go down there in the mud and eat. I'm gonna get this down here in this mud. They're doing their job. Amen. Let me go on. I don't miss something. Somebody said, oh Lord. Amen. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. When you go to Red Lobster, go on and just put some ketchup on it and eat it. Bless your food, bless it in the name of Jesus, and eat it. Amen. All right, All right. But Isaiah also, let me just show you these last two things and we're done. Under the comfort section, there was two things that Isaiah did see. I want you to see the coming of Christ in chapter 7. This was even in the judgment section, but even in the judgment section, how many of you know God even extends grace even in the midst of judgment? 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name, who? Emmanuel. And then when you read the book of Matthew, you'll read that God told Joseph the same thing, that he didn't have to worry about Mary being pregnant because she was pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. So Isaiah saw that. He saw that Jesus was going to come to this earth in a supernatural way. He was going to have a supernatural birth. Amen. Not nobody else is having these kind of births today. Amen. So if somebody, girl, come home today talking about, you know, she pregnant like Jesus was. No, there's only one Savior. We done had the Savior. Amen. You just need to come on and tell us who the guy is. That's what we need to know. Amen. Because we already know that Jesus is still alive, sitting on the throne. Amen. Amen. Chapter 9, verse number 6. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, folks still having a problem with who Jesus is? He's telling you right there. Amen, amen. It tell you he's going to be a ruler, isn't it? And it tell us that for unto us a child is born and a son is given. Notice the two things there, the two natures of Jesus. Did you notice the two natures of Jesus? Right there, we know who Jesus is. A child is born. That's the human side of Jesus. A son is given. That's the divine nature of Jesus. See, the son was given because he was already there. He has always been. You can't give something that's not in existence. The son wasn't born. The son was just given. But the child was born. Do you see that? So Jesus was both what? Man and God, right there in the text. Amen. You got it. Amen. Now notice, he saw the birth of Christ, but look at what else he saw. Look at Isaiah 53. And we'll be done with this passage right here. Beginning with verse number 3. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We didn't appreciate it. Surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for who? For our transgression. He was bruised for who? For our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were here. Notice. Isaiah said that he saw him coming in Jesus' day. He was not going to be appreciated by man. They're going to despise him. They're going to whip him. They're going to mistreat him. But he came not for him. He came for who? For us. The very people that didn't like him was the very one he coming to die for. Isn't that something? And notice what it says here. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. God put all of Jesus, all of our sins on Jesus so that he could die for all of our sins. Remember, at the moment that God placed the sins on Jesus, Jesus felt it. How do I know he felt it? He said something on the cross. He says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He felt it. Theologians tells us at the moment that God placed the sins of the world on Jesus, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit turned their back on Jesus, and Jesus felt it. Did you notice? He says, my God, twice. He said, my God, referring to God the Father. My God, referring to the Holy Spirit. Why have thou forsaken me? That we believe that God is a what? A Trinity. We believe that there is God the what? Father and the Holy Spirit. So when all the sins of the world was on Jesus, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Why did y'all leave me out? That was because God can't fellowship with sin. He can't look upon sin unless he judges it. And so that was the judgment of God. God turned his back, and God was judging the world for the sins. And Jesus was the cup bearer. He was the one that bore the sins of the world. And Isaiah saw it. So he saw the birth of Christ, but he saw the death of Christ. So he saw from the beginning to the end, didn't he? God let this man see a whole lot. So this is going to be a very interesting book for us to study. In terms of application, I just want to give you one application point, and this is it. The Bible is the Word of God. Believe it. Believe it. You can believe this Bible. That man saw the birth, the death, and stuff before Jesus, stuff after Jesus. And God, all of his promises, the scriptures say, are yea and amen. They never fail. So whatever God said, believe it. Isaiah said Jesus was going to come, born of a virgin, 700 years before Jesus ever came. Didn't it happen? He said Jesus was going to die upon the cross. He was going to be wounded. He was going to be pierced for our transgressions. Didn't that happen? So we need to believe the Bible. Just believe it. Amen. All right, that's our lesson for tonight.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. 3766, or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at BibleWay Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.